I want the people of Believer's Chapel to really see a couple things. I want us to see as a church what we're doing as a church around the world. You know, sometimes we get so busy and we come and we love church and we come to church and we do our thing and we truly are blessed and we just, God has blessed this place. Man, we can never take it for granted. But I want you to see what we're doing financially. I want you to see with individuals in this church that are going overseas and continuing to do a work and how we have from the very beginning, how God has knit Pastor Dave and myself together over 30 years ago. And then when I left the full-time police force, was connected with Heritage of Flame and did some traveling and did the youth ministry there. And it was Pastor Dave who really encouraged me in the gift that God has given me. He was one of the encouraging voices. Renee was top on that. Really encouraged me to go back to Bible college and help pay for Bible college because he really believed in me and saw a gift in me. It was huge. And then in Heritage of Flame, God has birthed and caused this place, Believer's Chapel, to come through where David Hearn is the vice president of the board of Believer's Chapel. He is our missionary pastor of this church. And I wanted this church to see all that takes place overseas through Heritage of Flame, which we are so knit and integrated together that God started 30 years ago, which neither Pastor Dave or myself had even a thought of what was taking place today here. But God knows all things, and he knew exactly the relationship that was being formed. Listen, over 20 years ago, I mean, because I love this man, I asked him, man, would you please travel to Pittsburgh and just sing in my wedding? And I mean, honestly, we had a wedding, and it's going to be the same. One day, I'm going to go home and be with the Lord if he doesn't return first. I've already talked to Brennan about this. Listen, in my funeral, you're doing a whole worship set, man. That's just the way it is. You know what we had in our wedding? A whole worship set. We went through song after song and just gave glory to God. And I asked that Pastor Dave would travel to Pittsburgh and sing at our wedding. This is how tight we are. And I just appreciate our relationship and our friendship and what God is doing. And I'm amazed because you're going to hear what God has done through one man planting one seed and how God has spread this truth. Gang, you got to see it. We walk in victory. God is in control. He holds the whole world in his hand. And God is in control. And we have a huge piece of what's taking place across the nations. You know, Matthew 24 says Jesus doesn't return until all the nations are preached to. That's huge. Everyone, well, when's Jesus? It could be any day. It could be any moment. It could be any second. And that could be absolutely true. But you know what the Bible says is truth? He's not coming until all the nations are preached to. So this word is going forth like, I mean, it is in multiplication mode across the globe. To know this and little in who we are in this little region, to know that we have a part in that across the region and across the globe, it's just intense. So I've asked him, because I want this church to see, what are we doing overseas? How are we as a church globally impacting the work that's going on around the world? Amen. Pastor Dave, if you could come up, please. Amen, brother. I love you.
Awesome. Thank you, brother. The same rod. If you put a magnet between us, we'd probably stick together.
Sean texted me and he said, hey, I just wanted to let you know I was just following in your footsteps. And I said, you're going way too far on that. I want you to know one thing right at the start. I stand here because of God's grace. Amen. That's it. Without him, I'm nothing. Without him, there is no hope. There's no purpose. I thank God for Sean, and he's asked me to take 25 years and put it into 35 minutes. We're going to try to do that because we want you to understand what you are doing when you give here, when you're praying, when you're serving. The greatest thing that we could ever do is to not be ashamed of the very gospel that has redeemed us. And to let other people know about the hope inside of us. I learned many years ago that God wasn't looking for availability or ability. He was absolutely looking for availability. He wants people just to say, here I am, send me. You know, the enemy likes to lie. and deceive. One of the things he likes to tell the Church of Jesus Christ is that they can't do what God has called them to do. He wants us as individuals to believe that because of our past, because of our failures, because of sin, because of lack of ability or skill or talent, that we can't really have an influence or an impact in our family, in our home, in our society, in our world. That's a lie. Because God said this, that nothing is too hard for Him. He can take any one of us and use us for His honor and glory because He's God. He's sovereign. Our part in it is to believe and to let Him do it. I'm only here because of God's grace. I grew up in this area. I grew up in a suburb of Bolivar, New York, called Kossuth. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. There's two signs. There's about 45 people. At least there was 45 people when I was a kid. And God spoke to my heart there. In 1967, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. In 1972, I started corresponding with Missionary Aviation Fellowship. And it was through that organization that I received the book Jungle Pilot. And I read it cover to cover. It was a story of Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, and three others. And they had a purpose. They had a plan. And they went into the South America country. And they wanted a tribe that had never heard of Christ to be redeemed. Five of them were killed. They were murdered, martyred. But the end of the story is this, that the very ones that murdered them were one of the first to come to Jesus Christ because the gospel was planted through those men. And that stirred my heart for missions. That stirred my heart for what God could do in our generation. In 1975, I went forward at Otisega Bible Conference and said, Lord, here I am. This is all I am, but please take me, use me. The next 10 years, God allowed me to be in ministry as a music minister, youth pastor, assistant pastor, and as a pastor. And as a pastor, I had the opportunity of inviting one of my college professors to speak at our missions conference, not knowing that he was the president of Christ for India as well. And when he got there, he invited me to go to India in the summer of 1988. I'm so glad I did, because God spoke to my heart there. The last meeting, there were about 23 pastors sitting in the front row of the service, and Dr. Thomas, who is Sam George's father-in-law, gave the invitation that night. And he said, I want right now to have all of you stand who will commit your life to become a martyr for Jesus Christ. The Indian believers stood to their feet. I didn't know what was going on with my brother pastors from America, but I knew that that was a message that I had never given as a pastor, and it's an invitation I had never heard. And all of a sudden, Dr. Thomas said, brothers from America, this invitation is for you too. And tears were flowing down my cheeks, and I knew that I had been brought to an edge, that I had to decide that night whether or not I was going to trust God and go over. And before too long, I stood to my feet and I said, God, I will become that martyr if that is your will. It changed me. I went back and was in the pulpit at Faith Bible Church in Little Genesee, and people immediately understood that there was a change. In 1989, I took two teams to India. I wanted people to see the same kind of thing that I was seeing and have the same experience. Lenny Obergfell was part of that initial team. Robin Sloat was. It's important for every single one of us to understand that God wants us to be available. Folks, if I can drive home anything today to you as an individual, it's that. I've said these words before. Don't underestimate what God can do through you. Maybe there's someone here today who's had their heart stirred for some time, and you have just been burdened, and yet you have that nagging thought in your mind that you cannot do it. Well, maybe you just need to understand that that is true, but God can. Add the but. He can do it in and through you. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I want you to see Revelation chapter 5 this morning, just a few verses there. Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 9. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slaughtered, and you redeemed people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You see that? Sean just mentioned that. Man, this verse here really inspires and motivates us for world evangelism, world discipleship. This is God's plan, that His people would take the message of the gospel and win the lost. That's what we're here for. Let's read on. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. And they said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and dominion to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. Father God, I thank you for this picture. And Lord, this is something that we will see because we know that your word is true. And God, I pray that we will have an opportunity on that day to understand that you have used us and that you have worked through us and that now you are receiving all the glory because everything is yours. And Lord, we are asking that our eyes would be open. We sang that song this morning, that our eyes would be open. Lord, I pray that people here would not only understand what they have been doing through their giving and through their praying and through their serving. But Lord, I pray for those individuals here that you right now are calling to do some specific work here locally or maybe some other place on your world. Lord, I pray that you would help them. Help them to have the eyes to see. Lord, help us to have ears to hear. Lord, may we be obedient in every way. God, we are only here because of your grace. That is it. Lord, I'm amazed that you would save someone like me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross of Calvary, for taking the curse, taking the penalty. God, I thank you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he today is the resurrection and the life. God, I just thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for this local church. Thank you for its pastor. I pray for Sean, for Renee. God, I just pray for their children. Lord, continue to anoint them. God, I pray that we would be so bright here locally, that that brightness would just automatically shine throughout this country and this world. Lord, we're asking that you would do what you have done in generations before us. Lord, I pray that your glory would burn through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. I am so glad that I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And those of you that have done the same thing, we need to understand something, that God saved us for a purpose. He saved us so that other people could hear the same message that has changed our lives. The power of the gospel is amazing. I have seen the power of the gospel not only change lives spiritually, but I've seen the power of the gospel change villages. I've seen light come to people who have known nothing but darkness. I've seen healing come to people who've known nothing but sickness. I've seen demons who were in control of villages cast out because of the word of the Lord. That is the truth. God is moving. God is working. His spirit is powerful. And you have a part in that as Believer's Chapel. But again, don't miss this. For you as an individual, God is wanting to do some great things through your life. In 1988, as I heard that invitation, I surrendered my life and I said, Lord, if necessary, I will become a martyr for Christ. Within the next few months, my mother handed me a packet, and it was a packet of information about our heritage. My aunt had done a lot of work. There was no internet available in that time, and there weren't a lot of websites you could go to, obviously. So she just worked hard going to libraries and public buildings and searching records, and she went way back to the 1400s. And it was there that she discovered that we had a grandfather, obviously generations removed, that had not only worked with William Tyndale and worked with Coverdale, but had been involved in publishing the first English Bible. And that English Bible was called the Thomas Matthew Bible. And he spent many years from 1537 right up to 1554 making sure that that Bible was not only published and printed, but distributed. The religious rulers and the political rulers of that day weren't very happy with him. In fact, they were very uptight. They didn't like the fact that the gospel was going into homes. They wanted to control what people were consuming and how they looked at the Word of God, instead of recognizing that the Spirit of God is the teacher. And when God's people get God's Word, amazing things can happen. And so eventually they arrested him. He came back from Wittenberg, Germany, where he had been printing a lot of these Bibles, and they arrested him, put him into prison, and Queen Mary sentenced him to death. According to Fox's Book of Martyrs, John Rogers was taken from his cell, marched down the street in Smithfield, England. He was chained to a stake, and he was burned to ashes. Fox's Book of Martyrs says that his last words were these: I will gladly seal with my blood that which I have preached. When I saw that story, I understood something at that moment, that the very thing that God had stirred me to do had already been done. And as I began to do my own research, this is what I discovered, that in every generation since John Rogers had been martyred, there has been at least one pastor preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The enemy thought that they had silenced him, and the enemy thought that the distribution of the Bible was over. But in reality, God used that death to promote the gospel. And through the centuries, the gospel of Jesus Christ has consistently been preached by someone in his family, including today. And so we looked at that, and I said, man, he was burned at the stake. That's my heritage. And so I want that heritage to be a flame. I want it to be a flame today. And God, I'm asking that you would not allow this to stop in my generation, but that it would continue on through the next generations. John Rogers was distributing God's word. Today, part of what we do is distribute God's Word. We've had the privilege of sending over 1 million pieces of literature, New Testaments, Bibles included in that, gospel tracts, to over 75 countries now. It's been an amazing thing. We have had the privilege of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel of Christ in country after country. We've taken teams to Jamaica and to Scotland, to Alaska and to India and to Burma and to Thailand and to Ghana and also into Liberia. We have seen the power of God, and you are a part of it. You are a part of that. So this morning we want to visit a few countries. I really appreciate Seth's skill in helping us put this together. First of all, the two countries or the two places that we have been involved with longer than any other, Alaska, our 49th state, and India, and you met Sam George 3 weeks ago. So we'd like to visit those two places first.
Founded by Dave and Vera Penz in 1989, Keiko Retreat Center Incorporated is a place set aside to provide Christ-centered retreats, youth camps, workshops, seminars, and counseling. Keiko exists to encourage and help the people living in the remote villages of Alaska. It is strategically located in southwestern Alaska, 6 miles off the Yukon River. Within an 80-mile radius, there are 24 villages. Within a 160-mile radius, there are 56 villages. According to the 2000 census, there are 31,000 Eskimo, 1,000 Indian, and 3,500 white people living within this circle. Since the area is so isolated and has virtually no road system, a primary means of transportation is by airplane. Keiko has its own airstrip, which means that the furthest of these villages can be reached in just over an hour of flight time. Heritage of Flame has stood with Dave and Vera for over 2 decades. We have supported the Lord's work financially and prayerfully during this time. By God's grace, we have been able to send over 20 teams to assist in programming, help with construction projects, minister in the villages, and cut firewood for the long winters. We praise God for the lives that have been transformed by the Word of God over the years. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Sam George and David Hearn first met in 1988. In November of 1989, Emmanuel Ministries in Tenkasi, Tamil Nadu, India was founded. Heritage of Flame has stood with Sam and Elizabeth from the very beginning. Emmanuel Charitable and Educational Trust, as the ministry is known as today, seeks to glorify God by providing help for today and hope for tomorrow, through the initiatives of the mission work and the power of the gospel. These works include a Bible Institute that currently offers bachelor-level programs in theology. The teachers are training young men and women in reaching India and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible Institute is accredited by the National Association of Theological Accreditation in Bangalore. There is a public high school which offers education from preschool to 12th grade. Over 800 students attend the school. The school cares for all aspects of their growth, physical, intellectual, and spiritual. The school's motto is, "Come forth to learn, go forth to serve." The school is accredited and recognized by the government of Tamil Nadu. A children's home where 50 orphaned and abandoned children are being cared for. Some of these children were obtained immediately after being rejected at birth, while others were brought from various nooks and corners of India. Included in these numbers are those children the society has deemed to be unlovable due to physical or mental abnormalities. They are part of a church with over 300 members following the New Testament pattern of worship. There's a village ministry that concentrates on developing one village at a time for the glory of God and the good of all its citizens by planting churches, conducting summer and regular classes for school-going children, vacation Bible schools, and various other outreach programs through mission trips. Nothing is too hard for the Lord.
About 10 years ago, I was asked to go to Africa for the first time, to a country called Côte d'Ivoire. It's in English, the Ivory Coast. And it was there that I met Jasper Williams and Ebenezer Brown. And these two men had been with their families fleeing the civil war in their country of Liberia, and they became refugees in this nation of Ivory Coast. And it was there that they determined that God wanted to use them even though they were away from their home country. And they developed a ministry called Community Church Ministries. And the whole purpose of this organization was to plant churches in areas that had no Christian influence or voice. And they began doing this work in Ivory Coast. Even though it wasn't their country, they had the eyes to see that God had put them there for such a time as this. And as they began to minister, they were listening to the radio, and they heard our program moment by moment. And Jasper wrote me, and folks, this is what I want you to understand, that all of these people that we are with, so many now, not one of them did I know. Not one of them was I introduced to by a human being. as God's will and as God's Spirit is working, He is connecting His people just as He wants. And Jasper wrote me, and he was one of thousands of letters that we were receiving at that time. And yet the Spirit of God connected us. He just took me to that letter. And I accepted the invitation to go to the Ivory Coast. And I'm so glad I did. Not only did I see what God was doing in churches there, but I understood the vision that Jasper and Ebenezer had to plant churches all through the Western African region and eventually regions beyond. I want you to see the work that is going on today in Liberia. For they have been back there now, the civil war is over, and the country is wide open for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And Jasper and Ebenezer know the name Believer's Chapel. They know you are supporting the work. They know you are praying for the work. Seth and I had the opportunity of going there almost a year and a half ago now, and God is doing some amazing things.
Nothing is too hard for the Lord. In the midst of the Liberian Civil War, God called two men, Ebenezer Brown and Jasper Williams, to begin community church ministries. The mission of CCM is to bring people to Jesus Christ and into membership in God's family. After salvation, it is our desire to train them to be makers of disciple makers. CCM and Heritage of Flame desire to equip men and women for leadership in the church and in their communities. For the past 14 years, we have stood with Jasper and Ebenezer to assist them in church planning. Their vision is to see a church in every unreached village in Liberia and West Africa. This will be accomplished by the preaching of the gospel and the discipling of those who surrender their lives to Christ. CCM conducts inductive Bible studies, Awana, Sunday school, workshops, retreats, and Bible schools. The Jesus film has been shown to thousands over the past 5 years. We praise God for giving us the opportunity to be part of this growing ministry. Over 15 churches have been planted in Liberia, 5 churches in the Ivory Coast, and 2 churches in Guinea. The Lord has allowed us to help provide food, clothing, and fresh water to so many people in villages and tribal areas throughout Liberia. By God's grace, we have been able to send funds to purchase land for banana plantations and the planting of pineapple plants. CCM is also running an elementary school. Presently, Heritage of Flame is praying for and applying for foundational grants to help Jasper and Ebenezer build a first-class school to provide hope for hundreds of children that hold great promise for Liberia's future.
We want to see Liberia one for the Lord Jesus. And the only way we can be able to do that is to reach out. One church is not enough. Two is not enough. Three is not enough. Four are not enough. We want people to know the love of God so that they can have eternal life in heaven rather than in hell. Because God is concerned about the souls of mankind. That is why He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross. So Liberia is inclusive in that. So we want to reach every town, every village with new churches so that people's lives can be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The second country that I went to in Africa was Ghana. And my first trip there, I went with Brad Sloat. And he and I had the privilege of meeting John Ajay. You're going to see how that whole connection came about when you watch this next video. But before you do, I want to talk to you about the second trip that I went on. I was asked by John to go to an area that he wanted me to see because there was absolutely no Christian light there. There was no gospel presentation going there except once in a while when he would go and witness and talk to different people. And I said, sure, let's go. He said, it's only going to be a short trip. Well, after 2 or 3 hours, it was no longer, in my mind, a short trip. And the car we were in had a hole in the floor, and so that the exhaust fumes came up and dust was coming up. And I want to tell you something. I got a little bit upset. I mean, I did, and I was ashamed of myself, absolutely ashamed. But I was just so uncomfortable. I had a handkerchief across my face because the dust was so bad. And I just kept asking him, when is this short trip going to end? And he said, we're almost there, brother, we're almost there. Finally, we got there, and I took the handkerchief off my face, and only the area that had been covered was white. The rest of me was dark. And I thought, I can't believe this. Lord, why would you bring me here? And he said, Dave, we got to move. We've got to go up the hill. And we walked up this stony path. And I got to the top, and there was about 150 people. Maybe 30% of them were small children. And I absolutely did not know what to do or what to say. And I was broken. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry that I was concerned about my comfort when I am seeing what I'm seeing. I saw kids that had hair, but they were missing clumps of hair. I saw eyes that were all yellow because of the water they were drinking. I saw women who could not nurse their babies because they did not have enough nourishment. And they were all waiting to hear something from me. And the only thing that I could tell them that day was that God loved them, and I gave them the gospel, and I gave the invitation, and it was in weakness and in trembling. And people accepted Jesus that day. That's all we could do for them. And when I left, I said, Lord, you've shown me this for a reason. And folks, I want you to understand something. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. I came back. I told the people in our ministry what I'd seen. And before long, we had funds available to send over there. And if you were to visit that village today, you would see a water well. You would see children that are healthy. You would see a school with over 100 children, a church that is functioning, and you would see paths coming from other villages in that rainforest region beaten down because people from those villages are coming to this village for fresh water and for the living water. It is amazing what God can do. This is Ghana.
For almost a decade, Heritage of Flame produced and aired the radio program entitled Moment by Moment. This program was beamed into many countries in Africa, including Ghana. Hundreds of listeners received gospel tracks. A discarded track was found by John Ajay as he was praying for help in his ministry. Already a committed Christian and pastor of the Living Christian Church, he needed assistance in doing the Lord's work. John contacted the address on the track. Through God's Holy Spirit, John and Dave became partners and friends. From this one track, Heritage of Flame Ghana was established. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now we praise God for giving us two government-recognized schools, the John Roger Academies. Recently, the children at Believer's Chapel helped purchase computers for the school in Swaziland. The Living Christian Church Network is deeply involved in evangelism and church planting. Young and old alike are coming to Jesus. Lives are being changed. Recently, one of the teams from this area had the privilege of participating in an ordination service. Nine more individuals were publicly set apart for the Lord's work. By God's grace, we have witnessed the digging of several water wells. We have been able to purchase land for an orange plantation and cassava crop. These projects not only help fund ongoing ministry, but also bring a modest income to families within the church. We are grateful that God has brought us together for such a time as this.
Christians are suffering all over the world. Many countries that we are involved with have experienced persecution on a regular basis. Nigeria is one of those countries. This is the last country we'll see this morning. Nigeria, again, is a place where God's word is going forth with great power. I met Gideon Ukabit pretty much the same way. I've met all of our brothers and sisters. And it was through the radio ministry, the first contact came, and we began sending gospel tracts there to be distributed. Before long, he invited me to come. People had encouraged me not to go because of the persecution. But I understood this, that God's grace is always over us as believers, and that nothing bad or tragic can happen in our lives. No one can stand against us unless God gives permission. So I understood the Spirit's call, and I went to Nigeria. I met Gideon, and it was easy for him to pick me out. We had pictures we'd sent through email. I was the only white guy in that crowd, so he could identify me. But it was hard for me to identify him until he came at me with his arms wide open, "Welcome to Nigeria." And he hugged me, and he kissed me on both cheeks. And then all of a sudden, two guys with machine guns came, and that was how I went through Nigeria for the next 8 days. We had an armed guard everywhere we went. Not one time did I feel uncomfortable. And this was the reason. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? And we were able to preach in so many different places, and we saw many people not only come to Christ, but we saw many believers say, "I am going to surrender even more. I want God to use me in my land." Nigeria is a place today where there are a lot of church bombings. There's a lot of death, but the Church of Jesus Christ is alive, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I want you to see what's going on in Nigeria.
Heritage of Flame also stretches across the sea to the nation of Nigeria. The radio ministry and tract distribution were a catalyst in developing ministry in this country filled with violence and death. After hearing one of the moment-by-moment programs, Reverend Gideon Ukabit initiated contact with Dave and Heritage of Flame. 10 years ago, Dave made the first of many trips to Nigeria. We praise God for the courageous stand the believers are taking in a land where hundreds of churches have been burned or bombed since 2011. Believers are praying, preaching, teaching, singing, and giving so that their countrymen can know true peace and experience hope that lasts forever. The home church in Uyo, Akwa, Ibom State continues to grow. The church promotes outreach, evangelism, discipleship, and missions. John Rogers Bible Institute is training young men and women at two separate sites. Not only are many being trained for church leadership, but church planners are being prepared and sent out. Recently, Reverend Ukabit sent this email. "I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's so good to be led by His Spirit. As I told you on the phone, I have been in a new region here in Nigeria. I am confident that starting another John Rogers Bible Institute will enable us to train more men and women for the Lord's work here. All of you there have been instrumental in assisting us in this adventure. Thank you for standing with us here in Nigeria."
So let us see the hopeless state of man before God apart from Jesus Christ. Let's pray, let's give, and let's go. And take the message of the gospel, the greatest news in the world, to unreached people. It is our turn to advance the kingdom of Christ and to accomplish Christ's commission. It's our turn. And I want to thank you for standing with brothers and sisters. Thank you, Believers Chapel, for what you're doing. And thank you, Sean, for standing with me.
Good stuff, bro.
Thank you.
Amen.
Come on, let's give him some thanks, guys. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, I really, really wanted you to see just the impact that we're making as a church. And, you know, we're not doing any special offering. We are blessed. And we have a very generous giving church. And on behalf of myself and the board, I really just want to say thank you for your giving. And thank you for that you see the big picture. And you know about reaping and sowing. And you know that when you are planting into his kingdom, man, lives are affected by that. And the world, the nations are affected by that. And we have what's great. What I loved from before even Believers Chapel, when I gave up the police job to really, really go to full-time ministry and go into Heritage of Flame and see what I loved was it was a ministry that attached itself to where God planted them. It wasn't a ministry that just went in, did a little work, and then left and bragged about it. It's a ministry for 25 years, 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, that it is, Pastor Dave has attached himself, Heritage of Flame, and now Believers Chapel, to these ministries that we have been connected to for over 20, 25 years. It's amazing when you see families raised up, when you know the kids' names of the past, and you see this church now planted, that church now planted, and now getting to build a relationship with this pastor and that pastor. And when it becomes so widespread, it's awesome to see this pattern of ministry. And we as a church, we're blessed that God has connected us to Heritage of Flame 30 years ago. Before Heritage of Flame was even around, God connected Pastor Dave and I for a time now that we have the ability to continue to sow into the work of God. And please know this. Sometimes we love our region and we love what we're doing here. We see God and we have our hand about this close to our face. Gang, I wanted you to be reminded this morning that the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it is changing nations and it is changing villages and it is around the world. And that is how big our God is, and that's how powerful our God is. That the Word of God, the same word that you study and read, the same word that we preach from, is being preached around the globe with incredible, incredible life-changing impact. It's awesome to see what God is doing through his word, by his Holy Spirit, moving in the life of man, moving in the life of family, moving in the life of children, moving in the life of villages. It's just incredible to see God alive around the globe. And it's not just an American word. And it's a word that has been spread throughout the globe. And we have a huge, huge part of that, which is just tremendous, just tremendous. And man, I loved what the one pastor said. When he said, listen, it's not one church isn't going to do it, and two churches isn't going to do it, and three churches isn't going to do it, and four churches. Again, we have got to do everything we can in this local region to let people know how much God loves them. Right here in America, right here in this region, right here. We want as many people as possible to know how much God loves them and what God has done for them through his son, Jesus Christ, on a cross. That if you would believe in him and call on his name, you shall, promise. You shall be rescued. You shall be delivered. You shall be saved. And man, the same thought there is the same thought here. The same God that is moving there is the same God that moves here week after week and throughout the week. And honestly, I just want to say thank you for your continued giving and your continued support. And I just want you to know, just for our, I believe in the tithe. I believe in givings. I believe in offering. And our tithe, 10% of everything that comes into this church goes to overseas work. 10% of everything that comes in goes to overseas work. That's not the local work. That's just across the globe, man. And it's just awesome. We're sending the team to India in November. I would love to go, but I can't go. Pastor Dave is going. Seth is going. Pastor Dan is going. And Robin is going. And we're sending those four overseas to preach and to sing and to worship and just continue to see connected to the work in India. And it's just it's tremendous to see that continued progress. And it was great to have Sam George here. We got to see him and hear him and know his heart. And it is a blessing, folks, that there is fruit and there is reward that we will not see here, but there is everlasting, forever eternal fruit in heaven, that we will begin to recognize people that we had an opportunity to impact through giving to support the work on the whole other side of the world, man. Isn't that a wonderful? Can we give God thanks, please? Come on. Amen.